Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a myriad and plethora of other podcast conversations you could be choosing, we are really grateful that you chose to click on our link. And why should you choose to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast? Well, not least because we have honest, open, insightful conversations with leaders from across the recruitment industry and beyond. We often invite people on who are leaders and experts in markets and sectors that we believe we can all truly learn from. Just a word of thanks to our sponsor, Pager, and to our proud partners, Needy and Inclusion Crowd, and a warm welcome to our new partner, Keybridge IT. More about all of those later on in the show. So without further ado, let's get to know this week's guest. This week's guest is an effervescent and really inspiring, wonderful leader who I think I started following because he just seemed to have nailed a really niche market and talks from the heart. And who isn't going to enjoy following somebody that's talking about pets and animals, let's face it. This is Chris Watling, and he's the MD and co-founder of the Animal People Recruitment Company. And we talked today around why he believed when he set up his company, the recruitment industry needs shaking up, why we need to hire more people who aren't money motivated. We talk about what it's like to recruit in a really niche market and how you as a recruiter or as a recruitment leader can set yourself apart to create an inbound ecosystem, whatever your market is. And then we talk about what we can all be doing more to look after ourselves and ensure that people who have caregiving duties continue to be top performers. It's a really gorgeous interview. You're going to love Chris as much as I do. Can't wait for you to get to know him. So let's jump in. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes, and for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, and I am so excited to welcome to our global community today somebody who I've had the absolute joy to get to know on a couple of occasions pre-recording this. Well, I'm actually a little bit disappointed to see that our little furry friend isn't in the camera today. I've just realised that, but maybe he'll make a guest appearance. He is, he's hiding. But without further ado, I'd like to welcome to you all today Chris Watling, who is the MD and co-founder of the Animal People Recruitment Company. Welcome to you today, Chris. How are you?
Hi, thanks for having me, Leisha. Thank you. I'm really
good. You're very
good.
Welcome.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
I'm pleased to hear it. So I allude to your furry friend now. I mean, that wasn't a euphemism, was it? We have got a dog in the background, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. That's my sidekick, Rodney, my bestie of the last 8 years.
Absolutely. Without being facetious, because I mean, I think your name kind of says it all, but just give us a little bit of a potted history as to how you founded your company and a bit about you, actually, Chris. Let's get to know you.
Okay, lovely. So yeah, I'm Chris. I'm the MD and co-founder of the Animal People, and we're a recruitment company that services solely the pet and animal health industries. A bit about me. So I fell into recruitment like a lot of people did. My jobs that I've had prior to being in recruitment were sales, customer service, retail. Actually, my first job in recruitment, though, was my first office job. And I worked for the Reading Evening Post when I lived in Reading, my hometown. And I worked on what they called the situations vacant pages, where everyone... Yeah. Do you remember? Like all those listeners that are younger that probably won't know, but that's where we used to go and get jobs, didn't we, in the back of the newspapers? So I used to manage all the recruitment agencies that advertised their jobs there and then all the companies that called up put their job in the paper. So that was my first little dabble into the recruitment world, if you will. And then I went off and travelled and worked abroad. Actually, my first place that I went was Tenerife, which is where I met my colleague Katie that works with me. So we met all those years ago. Yeah,
in Tenerife.
We were in what Playa de las Americas it was. Yeah.
Oh, nice, classy.
Yeah, really nice. Katie was selling shots and selling them to me. Anyway, I'll move swiftly on. But
at Lineker's.
Yeah, it was.
There you go. Oh, dear me.
Anyway, then I went and spent some years abroad working in Greece, and then I came back to my hometown and went and moved to London and did that London thing for a while. And then I met my now fiance and moved to Birmingham. And Birmingham is where my recruitment career really started. I'd always been put off by recruitment from its reputation that it had, that let's face it, has been a bit shit. I thought that it was going to be all about targets, figures, long ass days working from like 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and but I thought, right, I'll give it a go, because everyone said that you're such a people person. And when I was working in retail management, I really enjoyed the interviewing process and mentoring my team. So I thought it was a good match for me. So I started to interview around loads of different agencies, some names I won't mention, but I decided upon, and they gave me a chance at Office Angels. And I got to be honest, some brilliant training, but a bit of a baptism of fire. Like I was building a temp desk from scratch, and there was already a really great existing team there and a really brilliant desk. And I was like new to recruitment, didn't know a lot. And my boss that hired me quickly left. So I was left in this branch with a lovely team, but they were busy with their own job. So I kind of had to self-teach. So I was self-taught, sorry.
Yeah.
And then temp recruitment just reminded me of working in retail and having those team members that don't turn up. Everything's really reactive and quick, and I just didn't enjoy it. So I was drawn to perm, because perm for me was all about the relationship with the client, really getting under the skin of the company and getting to know them and acting, you know, like you work within that company whilst you're recruiting. So went over to it and did that in another agency. But again, had nightmare with the agency that I worked with. It just had a revolving door of consultants and problems in the management team. And I found myself being in a leadership position before I even had the skills to do it. And I thought, do you know what? I am done with recruitment after these experiences that I'd had. I've done so well, but I thought I was ready to leave. But I'd heard of a really great person within Birmingham who was a really successful consultant first, but now managed a team of an independent recruiters. They were called Kate and Kurt at the time, and they're now called KC Group. And her name's Sarah Grace. And I contacted her to help me find a new role. And I thought I was going to come outside of recruitment. Lo and behold, I meet Sarah. She is an amazing person and one of my closest friends and my now co-founder. And she took me under her wing, and I had the best 3 years in her business. And did all the things that I thought it was going to, what I thought it was going to be like working in recruitment. It was there. Had great friendships within the team.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, and it was where I first started recruiting in the veterinary industry. So that's kind of like a whistle stop tour of that journey to that point and where I met my co-founder, I guess. And then there's some bits after that, but yeah.
I think that's the first time we've ever had a reference to Lineker's Bar in Tenerife, though, I have to say. But no, I love your journey. And did you know, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but I also started my recruitment career in Birmingham. So there you go.
Did you? I didn't know that.
Yes, I did. I fell into it from a career in, I'd done property management, I'd done FMCG sales. And I was just really disillusioned by FMCG sales for different reasons to you, actually. It was just you could sell, you know, 100% of your target or 50% of your target or 500% of your target, you'd still get paid the same. It wasn't a meritocracy.
I see.
And I flicked open the Grocer magazine, which is showing my age. similar to your ads. Yeah. And I saw this advert for, you know, it basically was, it didn't say the word meritocracy, but that's what it said. You know, are you good at sales? You know, you can earn this 100 grand a year in your first year. And I was like, oh my God, that sure beats.
Sorry, my dog's barking.
We don't mind. It's all right. We can, he just wants to, say it's ridiculous that you're going to earn 100 grand in your first year. That's what he's saying. Yeah. And I interviewed and I had a few interviews and I just absolutely fell in love with Primetime at the time. They were, you know, in the 90s, they were very prominent. They were an independent and I really liked the culture and it was engineering. So, yeah, interesting that we've got a sort of correlation. But I like the way you took us through that story because I think that will resonate with a lot of leaders that, you know, you sort of find your flow. And I think for recruiters listening to this, because we obviously get people from all across the industry at all levels of tenure, is that you might find that you're really enjoying what you're doing, but you just know you're not on the right desk. And for a lot of people doing temp or perm or, you know, one industry or another, actually it could be you've not quite found your flow. So I think that's quite reassuring to hear your story that there is the right industry in there. But you said something earlier on, and I think it's on your profile actually, that you alluded to the fact that you felt the recruitment industry had this really bad reputation, still possibly does. So what do you think needs shaking up in our industry? Like why do you think recruitment is a bit shit from an external perspective?
I just think that there's a lot of people going into recruitment that don't really go into it for the right reasons. And it does, you know, when I remember going back to when I was interviewing for lots of the high street brands and big recruitment companies, I was being interviewed by a lot of men in blue suits and just, it was like a boys club and just asking me, you know, what money do you want to build? It's all about money, but nothing about what your purpose was within that job. And for me, it's always about, it sounds corny, but it really is making an impact and a change to people's lives. And I think people lose sight of that. It's such a privilege to really hold someone's hand throughout a process and help a company get the best talent within it. And I think that's what the fundamental reasoning is why it's wrong and why I came in to create my own company to shake up the industries a bit. Because once I left my now co-founder's old business, I did go and work for a niche recruitment company in the animal health space. But again, this is another story. The pandemic happened and it really made me reflect on myself and where I wanted to go with my future. And I've invested a year's worth of recruitment experience up until that point. And I had loads of ideas of how I wanted to do things and I wanted to do things a bit differently. So that's why I have what I have now, basically.
I love all that. And I think what you've said there is absolutely right. And I think from a data perspective, there are still far too few diverse leaders in the recruitment space. And I think it's really important that we each empower everyone around us to see that it doesn't matter, you know, where you're coming from, you don't have to conform to one or the other. It's interesting, actually, and I think this will resonate with you because I remember interviewing somebody when I was in not Primetime, it was the next company I moved to, a company called Fee Farrah Jones, and I was interviewing somebody, and I remember he was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant. He went on to become a top biller, but not for me, unfortunately. I pushed him through the process, and I just loved him. I loved his ethics. He was really about the people and the customer experience. And in the final interview with my then MD, it wasn't the CEO, unfortunately, it was the MD, he was an ex-FD, and he just said, you know, why recruitment? And he said, because I absolutely love helping people. For me, it's about that journey. And he got known. My MD refused to let me put an offer to him. He said, it needs to be about the money. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not driven by the money, but I'm your top performer. And the reason that I think recruitment gets a really bad rep is because it's the whole deals, it's the commission, it's all for Wall Street. And actually, what you've just said there about taking people on a journey, because if we start to see a peerage style career service, which if you take one of your candidates and you take them through their career journey, they then become your client. And then you create this whole ecosystem. And it's just, for me, it weds so brilliantly into how recruitment should be perceived, which is, as an industry, I think we've missed a trick.
100%.
It shouldn't be transactional. So I love that.
Yeah, brilliant. No, I couldn't agree more.
Great. So in terms of you've obviously set your business up. So have you set it up post-pandemic?
Yeah. So we're coming up to our third birthday. I can't believe it. How quick the time has gone. But myself and Sarah, it all happened very quickly. I knew I wasn't happy where I was and I wanted to do something. And I thought initially I was going to just go back and work for her business again. But I'd also built a lot of momentum online and I was loving the industries that I was breaking into and creating a bit of a, you know, personal brand and name for myself, especially within the pet industry. And when Sarah had this idea and I thought, right, I'm going to do it. So I was a bit broken at the end of that stint that I did, and I needed to get my confidence back and really get into loving my job again. But when I realized that there was a real big gap in the market for me, and when we launched that logo, it just was amazing from day dot.
But I mean, the thing is, and I think back to when I first started following you, and I think that you have nailed what personal brand is actually about, because as I've got to know you on camera and off camera, etc., you are exactly everything that you sort of are on LinkedIn. But I think anything to do with animals, people just go, oh, like, they're not even interested in what you actually do. Just like, I think you nailed your logo. So in terms of your market then, what so are you a candidate-led market? Just to talk a little bit around how does it work? What's the drivers of your market?
A bit of both, to be honest. I mean, it's obviously a very niche sector, and but it's also a global, massive business. The pet industry, you know, I've just come back from being at Global Pet Expo in America, and it is absolutely huge. And animal health, it's a kind of strange marketplace, because it's not as though you can just recruit to it without knowing anything about it. You're not just filling jobs. You really have to understand the intricacies of the industries. Yeah. And we're dealing with a lot of incredibly intelligent people that have worked long and hard to get into these fields within animal health and all that surrounds it. So both drive it, really. And I think the main challenge that we face, obviously, like a lot of industries, is being candidate short for certain roles, but it's also making sure that we match the right talent to these industries, because you don't necessarily have to have worked within them to be successful. Some roles you do, because you need to have that experience or qualification for whatever role it is. But I'm really proud to say that before I started the company, it was all about where someone had worked and what qualifications they've got, but for no real reason as to why. For instance, they might have needed a head of marketing, and they would only look at people that had worked for other animal health brands or pet industry brands, whatever it may be. But I was like, you're missing a huge candidate pool here. And as long, and why that I called the company the Animal People, is I believe that if you're a head of marketing, but you're maybe a head of marketing for a company that you don't believe in its purpose, but you're an animal person, how much more passionate and driven are you going to be within a business that you know that is bettering the lives of animals? So, yeah. But last year, 60% of our people came from outside of industry. But I'd say both.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm proud of that, because when I joined, it was just a heads on no. It was like, where have they worked? So we've really had to educate our clients around, you know, people from outside the space and what they can bring to you. I love a challenge when people tell me no, especially for no good reason, when people are kind of discriminated against for no good reason. I'm like, well, hang on a minute. Why? You know,
what's the reason? Do you know, oh my God, on so many levels, this is really valuable, because obviously what I'm trying to do is pick this up and make this applicable to other people who are listening, because I'm a huge believer in niche. I think niche is the only way to build a market for yourself, have longevity, create that ecosystem that I've talked about, which is the ultimate inbound model, which is what everybody strives for, which is obviously what I have created and you've clearly created as well. But I want to just actually pick up on this. So in terms of educating your clients, because I think this happens in a lot of markets, especially when we're in a recession as we record this now. We are hopefully coming out of the recession, but we've certainly had a recession at the start of this year. How would you recommend a recruiter? Let's say it might be somebody that does, you know, future mobility, it might be somebody that does pharmaceutical, it might be somebody that does recruitment, rec. How do you challenge and consult your decision makers who are fixated on, I need to have X amount of experience, that's it?
Firstly, I think it's all about the relationship that you have with that person, and that you can talk to them candidly and openly and give them some stats and examples around what you can bring to the table if you are trying to persuade them to look outside the box. I think that's first and foremost. Without that relationship, you're nothing. And I think it's just backing it up with the data and the proof that's in the pudding, and really making them open their eyes as to why you're trying to challenge the status quo and what other people can bring from outside agency and previous, industry. Challenging that status quo. I don't know if that answers the question, really, what you're asking there.
It does. And I think ultimately, I think having that relationship to be able to do that. But if, you know, there are other people that maybe are starting out in recruitment who are almost being set that challenge, you know, as you were on day one in Office Angels with your phone and looking around going, oh my God, they're all established and I'm doing this. You almost just have to have the wherewithal to know what parts are worth challenging and what parts aren't. Like for me, you almost need to go back a step and say, but why is that so important to you? And actually, what you'll find is because it's such an urgent role that they haven't got time, they think, for somebody to learn. But actually, then you can overcome that by saying, well, this person can bring this with them. How important is this to you? And I think fundamentally, it's about asking open questions. But I think, yes, it's ideal if you have got a long-standing relationship. But a lot of people be in the position you and I were in, where you almost have to be a bit of a charlatan almost, just to kind of build up that relationship first and foremost. But I think it's really interesting. And that is remarkable. And I think it should be something that we should all be thinking about, because so many markets are talent short. And I think there's always this kind of almost dichotomy of, you know, you've got all these candidates over here, but they don't seem to fit. And I think that happens to a lot of niche recruiters. So it's a good way to create more opportunities for people.
I think it's just comes down to as well, really taking the time to speak to the person behind the CV. And that's what we do really well. We don't just present CVs. We use video in all of our processes, but it's also really getting to know the motivators. You know, I've heard it all, even in my sector. You'll hear language with other recruiters I have sat beside in the past saying things like, oh, a veterinary nurse wouldn't want to do that, or a veterinary surgeon wouldn't want to do that job, but when they're coming outside of that remit and going into industry-led roles. And I say, well, why? You can't say that. It's every single person is different and has got a different skill set, no matter whether you're an administrator or a veterinary surgeon. If you're a veterinary surgeon that wants to go and be an administrator, you can.
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't. So, yeah, I think it's just a case of really getting to know the person behind the CV to be able to sell them properly into these businesses if they are willing to listen. But like you say, lots of them are just so desperate to fill the role and have an easy life because they've got like for like back in that seat, but it's not always the best thing for the business, you know.
No, and the reality is, I mean, I'd be very interested if someone had ever done data analysis, how many people actually move like for like? I imagine it's very few, and if they do, it's usually because the person has been thrown onto the job market through redundancy. It's not through choice. Yep. I don't think anybody purposely chooses a career move that's like there's always a learning curve. And I think that on that other point, anybody, any recruiter listening that assumes anything needs shooting, because we're not here to assume. We are here to broaden and to educate and to highlight opportunity, not to assume anything before we've even had a conversation with somebody. I think what you've just highlighted there is that there are people, and I'm hoping nobody listening, but there are going to be recruiters out there who are quite lazy and just basically are order takers.
That's it. Yeah. And I think it's so important that we have a responsibility to people. A lot of the time you're talking to people and it is tough for recruiters. This is something that I don't think people really realize that don't work in recruitment. We're having a lot of negative conversations day in, day out with people that aren't happy, that want to move jobs, that have had a horrible time, whatever it may be, maybe made redundant, got bills to pay. And we've got a duty of care to them as well to really make sure that they're confident again and that they're well equipped to go into the job market and make sure they're putting their best foot forward. But that takes time and care, and I don't think a lot of recruiters are doing that with their candidates. And I guess that's what sets us apart in the marketplace, because we'll do things that maybe aren't good commercial decisions, but I know that they're the right caring decision for that person, you know. So
yeah, but that's where you're putting pause before profit.
That's right.
Have you ever used that before? Have I just coined that for you?
I actually haven't, but we are with the donations that we're making.
I know, and you've got your Patreon role. I know you can have that, and please make sure you obviously credit me. But I'm only joking. I think it's really important. And before I let you go, you've got a remote business model, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, we have. We've actually just flipped that a little bit.
Have you? So talk me through how that's worked for you, and then this debate, if it's even a debate, is going to wage forevermore, because there is literally no one size fits all. There is no right or wrong answer. But how do you make it work best for you from a productivity point of view and from hiring people for yourself?
Productivity point of view, it's about having amazing tools. There's a few different things. So firstly, it's about having the right people in the business. So having people that want to work from home for the right reasons, not just because they want a jolly or what everyone calls it, but it fits in with their lifestyle and that people, you know, it really works for them, because home working is not easy. It really isn't. I would say that people that work from home work a lot harder than people in the office. I mean,
of course
we don't.
You
do. Yeah, we don't have a lot of downtime, do we? We don't have those chats by the water cooler. We don't have.
No.
Yeah. And you have to care for your mental health working at home as well, because it's not easy switch off. So yeah, I'd say that is having the right people. We hire people that want the job for the right reasons, people that it fits in with, you know, their lifestyle. So that's the first thing. And staying connected through amazing tech. We're really lucky that we've got some great tools. It's talking regularly. It's having that video contacts. It's not just always just calling on a phone. It's using Teams to video chat. So I'd say those are the main things, that using the tech properly and having the right people in the business for the right reasons. Because I have, you know, we have hired someone before that didn't work out because home working wasn't what they thought it would be, because it's not for everyone. I think those are the main things.
I think you've covered it. I mean, it's definitely about hiring the right people. It's hiring on values and hiring on behaviours and, you know, not just because they want to, you know, knock off or whatever. It's because actually it works really well for their caregiving, possibly. And I agree you totally. I think that the risk of burnout, I mean, everybody experienced it in COVID. If you're listening to this and you have been working since COVID or before COVID, you know, you probably do work longer hours because you don't have the commutes. So you're always making up for that time back. But I think that's really interesting what you said there. You know, you've got to, as a business leader listening, you know, if you are looking at productivity, but you're not actually supporting your remote workers and you're not actually giving them the tools and you're not giving them the tech and you're not communicating with them, then actually the onus is on you as a leader, not just on the person that's maybe not performing as well as they should do. Be interesting to see how it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, we've now just brought in a bi-weekly in-person co-working day. So we're travelling down and meeting in the Reading area because that's a good central meeting point. And it's been great.
How lovely.
For any leaders watching, I think what I've struggled with, or listening, sorry, with home working is I think that there's a lot to be left to perception. So you might say something to someone over a video call or on the phone that might be difficult for both parties to listen to or say, but then there's that, once that's said, that video call's ended or that telephone call's put down, and then there's no, you can't just have a laugh with them afterwards or go back to your own thoughts. So I think meeting regularly is also, I've learned, is key for the future of our business. It's something that we've got to get involved with more.
Yeah, we do that. We've been remote since 2021. We were hybrid for from 2019 to 2021, and then we went fully remote in 2021 and end of 2021. And we meet up, Shannon and I try and meet up at least once a fortnight, and ideally with Laura as well. But I think it's, you know, it's actually, we've not talked about this, but it's managing expectations and setting clear expectations right from the start. You are then creating an empowered culture. So I just wanted to pick up on that, because I don't think there's actually many companies now that really are truly hybrid or remote. So I think a lot of people have kind of revoked it, and I think it's a really missed opportunity for so many, particularly if we're trying to, you know, squish that gender pay gap for a lot of caregivers. It's always going to be the challenge, but we need that flexibility. So Katie, I really appreciate Katie, that.
Sorry, that's all right. I'm over talking now, but Katie that works with me, she's a working mum, and she it's so important to me that she just goes off and picks Archie up every day, and I'm not bothered, like, pick up the work when you can. It's, let's just be flexible, but like they do it. Not as many people are doing it.
And I think you'll find, actually, statistically, I think most working parents probably put in more effort and productivity in the hours, because we've got, you know, we have got fixed costs that are probably greater than people that maybe don't. So can I just say that your furry cohort member was extremely well behaved. I don't know what my trigger word was before, but clearly he settled back down again. And you know, I think you've been an absolute joy to get to know, and I really hope that people enjoy following your content, because you are just one of those truly, you know, wonderful sunshine people, both on and off the LinkedIn forum. So thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. You're welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We are thrilled to welcome to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast a new partner in Keybridge IT. Keybridge provide 24/7 support to all of their customers. Established in 2010, Keybridge IT Solutions is a London-based, fully managed IT support and solutions provider. And for recruiters like me, we all need the IT expert to sort our problems out, whether it's with Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft 365, internet connectivity, security, Microsoft Azure. I mean, all these words actually mean nothing to me. What about you? But so much more than that. They work across many industries, not just recruitment, but if you're listening from the world of leisure or charity or finance or even marketing, they will be able to help. So click on the link in the podcast show and get to know Keybridge IT. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode.